you, and welcome. Welcome into today's edition of Strategies for Living. I'm marriage and family therapist David McMillan. Delighted that you've joined in with me on this day for Strategies for Living, which is all about helping us live healthier, happier, and more peaceful lives in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, in our relationships here in the 21st century. And we do that by engaging in important conversations each and every time that we do Strategies for Living. We are going to have an important conversation today and maybe learn a new term or so. Have you ever heard of ecopreneuring? Take ecology and take entrepreneuring and kind of add them together, and let's put purpose and the planet before profits. There's some powerful social trends toward, of course, green living, relocalization, and self-sufficiency, and those have fanned the fires of would-be ecopreneurs in North America, driving a shift towards prioritizing purpose over profits and building community over building market share. And we are going to talk about that today with Lisa Kivarist, and she and her co-author, John Ivanko, are innkeepers of the award-winning Inn Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, completely powered by renewable energy. And this husband and wife duo are national speakers, marketing consultants, authors of Rural Renaissance and Edible Earth. And Lisa's also a food and society policy fellow. And Ivanko has co-authored numerous highly acclaimed multicultural children's books for the Global Fund for Children. They have together a new book out called Ecopreneuring, Putting Purpose and the Planet Before Profits. It's out from New Society Publishers. And Lisa, let's talk about it today on Strategies. How are you?
Hey, great. Thank you very much for the invitation to join you.
Oh, absolutely. I was excited about talking about this important subject. Sounds like you guys are living exactly what you're writing about and talking about, huh?
There's a true element of authenticity there, yes. You're calling us on our Wisconsin farm, and we've been up for a couple hours weeding, actually, because there's multiple tasks to be done. But that aspect of diversity in what you do, but doing it with the earth in mind and your earth mission and wanting to leave this world a better place really encompasses our daily activities, be them ones related to the business or related to the food we eat or how we spend our time with our family and community. And umbrellaing that all together is exactly what we've been doing for the last 12 years since we've been out here in Serendipity in Wisconsin, and have been finding that there's an increasing interest in this, more and more folks who want to create their own businesses and livelihoods around what they feel passionate about, what does good for our world. And that's what prompted us to write the Ecopreneuring book, to create a resource for folks to be able to do that.
Well, your job title certainly, as you say in the book, doesn't fit on a 2x3-inch business card.
No. Something I still explain to my mom on a regular basis, but no, in a good way, in that our lives are complex in a creative sense. There's a lot going on, and life can't be summarized in a two-word job description, at least for us, and again, a growing number of people like yourself. I mean, you've got a lot of interests and passions that come out in different ways, be it through the radio show, be it through other work, and that needs to be recognized and celebrated.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. I'm looking at a picture of in Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, and there's early in the book, there's a picture of it, and I'm seeing the solar thermal system, which allows your guests to take showers with water heated by the sun.
Indeed. Good recognition there. Yes, indeed. The panels on the roof are solar thermal, and those heat the hot water, basically, for us, thanks to the sun. So we get a lot of guests up here who are curious for a reason as simple as that. Hey, I want to try a shower with water heated by the sun, and by golly, it's just like the hot water that comes out of my conventional tank. So people are really curious to try and experiment with new things, particularly under this idea of living lighter on the earth. And in many cases, they'll find, like they do when they come to our B&B, that we're not living in some shack somewhere. It's a very mainstream shower in that sense, but come out and try it out. So that idea of experiencing what's happening is a real trend as well, we've seen. So we get great guests up here at the B&B who are just curious, interested, in many cases know a whole lot more about green living, renewable energy, organic gardening than we do. John and I joke that when our guests leave, we have pages of notes of our amongst ourselves personally of ideas to try or books to read. Or
I love it.
New ways to handle squash bugs in the zucchini patch next year.
There you go. We've got a lot to talk about today with Lisa Kivaris, the co-author of Ecopreneuring, and we'll get to that. We're going to take a quick break, come back, much more strategies for living as we put purpose and the planet before profits today with Lisa Kivaris. Stay with us.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. I'm marriage and family therapist David McMillan, visiting today with the co-author of Ecopreneuring. She is Lisa Kivaris, and she and John Ivanko have written this wonderful book about putting purpose in the planet before profits. You can find it in your favorite bookseller right now, out from New Society Publishers. You can also go online and visit Lisa and John's site, which is ecopreneuring.biz and www.ecopreneuring.biz. How did you and John get started in this work, Lisa?
Well, we had pretty mainstream roots in that both of us met when we were working in an urban Chicago setting, sitting in a corporate cubicle for 12 hours a day working in a corporate advertising arena. And that was very much what was expected of us post-college, is you graduate and you get a job and a paycheck and life is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't for us. And we found that with a lot of other folks. So we were just yearning for something else, something that had more meaning than 12 hours a day trying to convince people to buy more stuff.
All right. Now, so how common is that? I mean, you're one of the things that I'm assuming, since here's a book, and I'm assuming that you guys aren't the only people desiring this and wanting this. There's really a movement here, isn't there?
Most definitely. You see that both in just the startup trends of business in general, where there are more and more folks starting small enterprises. 75% of all businesses right now are run by just one person. Small micro enterprises. You see that growing of people wanting independence and control over their schedule. That was a big thing for us, of just not wanting to work for somebody else and wanting to have more control. If we were to bring a child into this world, which we our son is now six, but to have some flexibility to be able to raise that child in a parent-focused environment where we could call more of the shots. But secondly, and more importantly now, is this whole growth of not just wanting to start a business, but wanting to start an ecopreneurial business, to be an ecopreneur where I'm not just an entrepreneur out there to make a buck, but how can I both do that and do it in a way that helps this planet and really creates a better world for us all?
Did you and John coin the term ecopreneur, or was that already coined?
No, we don't stake claim to that one, and it's in a good way in the sense of there was this thing has been popping up in various contexts for a couple years now, in that people are combining the ecology idea, the environment idea, the doing something good for the planet with entrepreneurship, with business. Because our country is still focused on that structure of business, making things work, making things click. That will always be here. How can we do that with sustainability in mind? So we by no means started the trail, but we'd like to make that trail bigger and more accessible to more people.
How do I know if I am an ecopreneur?
Excellent question. It has to do, I think, with the passion in your heart of where you see yourself, where you see this planet, and where you see your daily hours, if you will. It has to do with really finding right livelihood from that diversity perspective, where somebody who perhaps is best suited for a job situation really needs structure, in the sense of somebody providing an identity for them and a to-do list and a structure of their day, whereas somebody who's an ecopreneur is looking for, in essence, modeling nature more, of having diversity of things going on, of having the ability to structure their daily work life. So there is a lot of blending between work and leisure. For us, when we have B&B guests and we're sitting around the campfire past midnight discussing the state of the world and everything in between, is that work? Is that leisure? We don't care. I mean, it's
sure.
Work by the IRS standards, sure, but there's something more to that, and that delivering more is really an essence of ecopreneurs.
Hmm.
And this idea of keeping things local is a very strong trend amongst ecopreneurs, of not wanting to just create another big box franchise, but how can I contribute? How can I be a part of my local community? And we joke here at the B&B that we've got a very local breakfast with about 100 feet from garden to plate. But that said, we also draw very much on our local region here for other foods we showcase at the bed and breakfast. We're in Wisconsin, so of course we have a wonderful cheese assortment to choose from.
I would imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. And dairy and that sort. But even honey or cranberries or all sorts of other things we can source here locally as well.
I'm hearing your passion, and I guess that's one of the things with an ecopreneur, is that the work is a reflection of your values and your passions, and there's a lot of meaning and purpose. It's not just about making a paycheck to pay the bills.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or building personal wealth to fund your retirement. It's leaving a difference, if you will.
Indeed.
In terms of your own decision, your and John's decision, once you decided, let's break free, let's get out of here, was it hard to decide, here's what we're going to do? We're gonna buy a bed and breakfast. Was that an easy choice for you guys?
No, that's a very very good question. In that, I think sometimes folks are looking for the simple answer to change, and maybe
yeah.
You see that well, after we were hit by lightning or abducted by aliens, we made this change. It wasn't anything nearly as dramatic or glamorous as that, but it was a constant change, and it's still constant today in the sense of we've been here over a decade, but our journey is still very much continuing in that how can we keep improving and bettering both the land and our farm and ourselves. But the transition itself took a couple years from that seat in the corporate cubicle to the seat now in our home office overlooking acres of pasture. And that, I think, is healthy and good. At least it was for us, because we could learn as we went. We were coming from very much mainstream suburban upbringing. We didn't have a clue about how to grow a potato, much less identify the plant. So we had a high learning curve that needed to be acclimated. And what's amazing about that is, for us, and I think a lot of people, is once you start making change, once you take one step, once you look at one real estate listing for one farm, all of a sudden people start appearing in your lives as mentors, as resources, as help in ways that you'd never expect, you'd never sense, you could not plan on unless you took that first step. Ironically, one of the only things we knew when we moved to the farm was the name, In Serendipity. We like that philosophy of serendipity, that you start on the road, you might not know exactly where it ends up, you might not know definitely who you meet along the way, but it's that passion for the journey that we wanted to embrace, and that's very much been a theme throughout our years here and throughout our work, and continues to be so. So to your question, it's that idea of starting something and continuing with it and evolving as you go. I think often folks very much feel they need a plan with a direct line from point A to point B. And while, and this is where we go into an ecopreneuring, you very much need a business plan in the sense of thinking through things strategically, financially, and keeping things very solvent from a financial perspective. You still need to be open to the possibilities, and that has very much been our mantra.
Yeah. You talk about, in the book, you talk about the four horsemen of opportunity. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We live in a very complex economic times right now, in various ways that we can both take a lot of these things going on, be them, like climate change, for example, is one of the horsemen of opportunity. The idea of global warming, ecological collapse. You know, the polar bears are now on the endangered species list. Things are changing there rapidly.
Yes.
The third is peak oil. No matter how you slice it, we are using too much of our fossil fuel resources. And fourth, the fourth horseman of indebted nation, that we are a nation that is incredibly in debt, both on a personal consumer level and as a nation overall. We could look at these as real downers, that they should just bring us down, glass half empty, woe is me, or look at them as a real sense of opportunity. And that's where we embrace the positive. And the four horsemen of opportunities, how can you look at these dire situations in our world right now and turn them into opportunity, both for yourself personally? These situations garner a lot of options for new businesses, be them something mainstream like ours. I mean, we're a bed and breakfast. Those are a dime a dozen. But we're a green B&B that runs on renewable energy, that serves local organic food. How can you take a regular business and green it, or, importantly, find a new niche that isn't being served that can help both purpose and planet and profits? And you see a number of green small startup businesses now popping up throughout the country, hopefully throughout the world, that address anything from reuse. I mean, the amount of waste in our country. How can we take that, be it literally recycled material, glass, and turn that into something else, or creatively taking what exists from used bicycle parts? There's a company we write about, Resource Revival, out in Oregon, that makes keychains and frames and all sorts of things out of used bicycle tires and chains. So there's a lot of creative opportunity there for folks to look at what's happening, look at it positively, and act.
Even your publishers, New Society Publishers, Chris and Judith Plant, they're doing something along the same lines, aren't they?
Oh, New Society is a fabulous publisher, and we've been very fortunate to have partnered with them from the start, both with our Rural Renaissance book and now Ecopreneuring. They are based off of Gabriola Island in Canada, which we have yet to find on a map, which I think is part of the story, that amazing businesses can operate from anywhere nowadays thanks to the Internet and modern technology. But they are truly one of the first publishers to embrace ecological sustainability in an industry that is, in general, far from that. They are completely on sustainable paper publishing. They work with the Forest Stewardship Council, so all the paper in Ecopreneuring, for example, is 100% post-consumer recycled. It's old tree free, there we go, and is processed in an environmentally benign way. But even more so, if you look at their list of books, they are all books that promote social change in various ways, be it starting a green business like ours, to starting an ecologically oriented community through the Natural Step or other programs, and a lot of books also on green design how-tos and various oil issues as well.
You talk in the book about sustainable business. What is that, Lisa? What is sustainable business?
Sustainability is an interesting word. because on one level, it means status quo. I mean, if anybody described my marriage as sustainable, I mean, your goal as a marriage therapist, I mean, you don't want marriages to be sustainable. You want them to be growing and evolving. But
right.
That said, from a business perspective, sustainability would mean leaving things at minimum how they are and ideally better, be it the planet, be it the resources you use. We ourselves here at In Serendipity generate more power thanks to our wind turbine, thanks to the solar systems, thanks to energy conservation efforts. We generate more power than we use. That's leaving something better than taking away, and that is part of sustainable business. But also, too, a business needs to be financially sustainable. And that's what we talk a lot about in ecopreneuring, of really restructuring our approach to business and personal finance, in that how can we utilize both the business structure from a way that, yes, we can generate profit, but do so in a way with environmental principles in mind, but we can also apply that philosophy to our own personal life. It doesn't make any sense to be running your business sustainably and using post-consumer paper in your printer when you lead a whole other different life at home. And that integration of personal and private and work and play and the 24/7 structure of really living every minute of your values is an important aspect in sustainability.
You said you guys produce more power than you actually use.
Yeah, well, our meter runs backwards, which
wow.
Our neighbors still stop by to see. It's quite a unique sight, particularly in today's era of fuel prices.
Do you sell that power back to the company? Or
yes,
what
yes, we get a check back from our local utility, Alliant Energy, here in Wisconsin, at the end of the year. Things vary a lot by where you live as far as the setup and structure and relationships with utilities. But in general, you see this movement growing of folks putting up renewable energies and getting
that
a check.
Wouldn't that be great? You get a check from the power company. I
yep.
love it. Ecopreneuring, we're talking about it today with Lisa Kivarist. Maybe we've got your attention now about putting purpose in the planet before profits. We've got much more to come in our conversation, so don't go away. Stay with us. More to come.
Son, you're a young man now. I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about, well, about men and women.
I know all about that stuff.
Well, you might know a little biology, but do you know how to treat a woman?
I guess I could use a little direction. So how do I treat a woman, Dad?
You know, I'm not going to tell you. You have to figure that out by yourself.
How?
Well, first I suggest you watch a lot of bad TV and violent movies and observe how women get treated there.
Okay. I'm kind of doing that already. What else?
Well, let's see. Oh, yeah. When you're at school, be sure to take careful note of what irresponsible older boys say.
I sure will.
Sometimes the only message boys get is the wrong one. Many young men need advice and direction on how to behave towards women. You can help provide it. By teaching boys early that violence against women is wrong, you can help prevent domestic violence. For tips on what to say, visit www.endabuse.org. End abuse. Teach early. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Family Violence Prevention Fund.
And welcome back into Strategies for Living. I'm marriage and family therapist David McMillan, speaking with Lisa Kivarist today. She and John Ivankoe, husband and wife, are ecopreneuring, and they're writing about it. You can find their book out from New Society Publishers at your favorite bookseller, or you can go to newsociety.com, or you can go to ecopreneuring.biz and learn more about ecopreneuring. John and Lisa style, and see and visit what they're doing at the Serendipity. It's actually in Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, right?
Yeah.
All right, and you guys are doing what you talk about in the book. You're making a life, not just earning a living, right?
Very much so. That's how we define it as well. And that's what the ecopreneuring movement is showcasing, of this redefinition of success and most definitely success based on wealth, which is the images we are always being bombarded with by the media, by school, by our society, of more is better, more money is better, and once you get that, you'll get what you want. Not really. And we found that personally, in the sense of when we left a more mainstream career path that would have perhaps led to that, our quality of life really increased.
Well, one of the things that I'm, you know, certainly aware of as a psychotherapist is, you know, and I've got a little small practice in Shreveport, Louisiana, so, you know, but it's interesting to me in the course of a week, a month, a year, how many people I come across who come, sit down on my couch or one of my chairs and want to talk about the symptoms that are troubling them. And it could be depression, it could be anxiety, it could be some other form of stress or relationship issue. But the bottom line is they're not happy with their life. And so the quality of their life, something is wrong. And I think you guys are on to something here.
We hope so, because it's a sad situation when people get misdirected in various ways. And it's easy to do in today's world, where we are just so engulfed with so many messages, responsibilities, priorities of who am I and what is my Earth mission in all of this. And that idea of our Earth mission, we write about extensively in the book, in that who are you about? What is your Earth mission? And this goes beyond just a job and what you do to pay the bills. It's who you are and why you're on this planet, and importantly, how can you leave this place a better place? And for people we found who really take the time to think about those questions, which are big questions, as I'm sure you've seen with your clients as well, of thinking about it, where am I most joyful? How can I keep that in my daily life? Once those questions are answered, you are by nature a more happy person and more grounded and focused on your values, feeling like you're making a difference, and that spreads throughout all your other relationships. But that said, this is hardly happiness and bliss camp on a daily basis here at In Serendipity. We have, well, both the ups and downs of life, and more importantly, too, we have the ups and downs of nature. We planted, a couple rows of basil last week, left for a couple days, and the whole thing was shot thanks to the wind. Now, the wind turbine was happy, the garden was not. So it's constantly this ebb and flow of balance here, of trying to keep both ourselves balanced, in line with ecological balance, with financial balance. So it's a constant challenge, but it's one of joy. And that's a big difference for us from the life we used to lead, of having that I'm really excited to get up in the morning idea.
You talk about in the book a DQLI. It's a Diversified Quality of Life Index.
Yes.
And it's measured by various factors that are including things like the health of family relationships, the enjoyment of your work, your physical health and well-being, and also your level of satisfaction with life. So let's talk about some of these, Lisa. Having a meaningful livelihood that expresses passion and creativity and soul. I hear the soul and the creativity as you're talking with us today.
The Diversified Quality of Life Index idea really looks to Mother Nature as a mentor and model, in that in natural settings, there's natural diversity. There's not just one species of anything. When, you know, the acorns fall from the tree, they fall all over, and some grow and some don't. And it's that essence of having a lot of different things going on and having them work together in harmony is the spirit behind this Diversified Quality of Life Index. And to the point about meaningful livelihood, that's a real important component that too often we see missed, and was one of our motivations in writing Ecopreneuring, to provide some tools and help and support for folks looking to start their own business, to not feel overwhelmed by it all. Because once we start feeling overwhelmed or helpless, no change happens.
Right.
And what's great about the small green business idea is you can get started for not a lot, if any, investment. And we started our B&B with, put it this way, we started the B&B here on the farm the only thing new we had to purchase were mattresses for the B&B room. Once we started getting the word out about what we were doing, I mean, we moved, John was finishing grad school, I had a studio apartment in the city. We didn't have a lot of stuff between us.
Right.
Once we put the word out, it's amazing what people had in their closets, literally, that needed a home, be it a kitchen table or a set of dishes. There's a lot of that out there to help folks start on meaningful livelihood, and we don't need to get caught up in the, oh, I need this big nest egg to even dream about doing this.
Well, let's take another quick break here, but when we come back, you talk in the book about the wealth of poverty. I want to talk a little bit about that. Can we do that?
Great.
All right. We are talking with Lisa Kivaris today. She and John Ivanko, Ecopreneuring is what they're doing, and we're talking about it today. It's putting purpose and the planet before profits. You'll find their book out at your favorite bookseller from New Society Publishing. But before you run out to your bookstore and get Ecopreneuring, stay with us, finish this conversation, and we'll be right back.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. I'm marriage and family therapist David McMillan, visiting with Lisa Kivaris. She and husband John Ivanko have, they are ecopreneurs in the truest sense. And they've written about it in their book out from New Society Publishing called Ecopreneuring, Putting Purpose and the Planet Before Profits. We're talking about it today on Strategies for Living with Lisa. And before break, we talked about the wealth of poverty. That kind of sounds backwards to some people. But there is wealth in poverty, Lisa?
Well, it's this idea of redefining wealth, and that poverty is more of a state of mind than economic condition.
Amen.
And you could be wealthy in a bank account sense, but be very, very poor when it comes to your soul and your passion and that feeling of drive to get up in the morning. And that's what is a theme throughout Ecopreneuring, in that we as a country in America, we are still very financially wealthy, however you slice it. If you look at the rest of the global world, as far as resources and finances go, we're off the charts. Yet we are a nation that is increasingly headed towards poverty of the soul.
Mm.
And this comes to both poverty of other things other than money, be it time. We're strapped for time and all these pressures and priorities and needing to refine that. We're strapped for a sense of belonging, be it feeling connected to both our own families or community. And those are elements that are only increasing, but it's really until we redefine what poverty is and to appreciate and relish and have gratitude for what is here and build on that, can we really change, both personally and as a country. From our perspective, if you look at our income at the bottom line, it's low by the governmental standards, yet we feel our quality of life is so high. And in many cases, the things that we do on a day-to-day basis can't be measured in dollars and cents and don't add to the GNP. We grow 70% of our own food here on the farm. That covers a number of categories, both quality food for our body, quality time out in the garden, which we were definitely doing these last couple of days here in the Midwest, to the whole process. And that really adds to quality of life, but definitely doesn't add to wealth in the conventional sense. But
yeah,
we're all for it. More of that.
You talk in the book about, and this will get people's attention, wages and consumption can wreck our lives. You illustrate that in the book, and folks, this one area may be worth the purchase price of the book.
Good. It, good.
You know, you point out that it's practically impossible for a family of three or four to make enough money with just one wage earner receiving the median annual income, and you illustrate that in the book.
This is what we go into great detail in the book for the reason that my husband John went to business school in college and never covered any of these things of really relooking at our personal finance structure and how can we change things so that they both meet the bottom line in paying bills, yes, but more so meet the bottom line in purpose and passion. And when you look at the numbers from a paycheck perspective and you see what FICA and FUTA and all those things are taken out of it, you're right. It's near impossible for a family to live on one average salary. Yet once you start throwing things into the realm of self-employment, once you start totally changing your perspective on income in that looking at a lot of your life as a business deduction, be it your home office deduction, be it mileage in places you go, be it travel reimbursements for places you go related to your business, all of a sudden things start changing and you literally add more to your bottom line, both financially but also from a purpose perspective as well. And that's a skill, and that was one of our chief motivating factors in writing this book, is to get that hands-on information to people, because again, it's not covered in conventional business school, much less conventional business books, where everything is towards growing the bottom line.
So how do you help people then cultivate the core? How do you help a person identify, Lisa, their passion and develop? You're talking a different mindset here. You're talking a real paradigm shift to an ecopreneur. It's
most
an
definitely.
Ecopreneur mindset.
In the book, we go, in the beginning sections of the book, we talk more about these four horsemen opportunity we're talking about and changing the current changing economic structure, what the state of the world is and why this is a very timely movement and how you can play a role in that by identifying what you're passionate about and business ideas. And then the rest of the book is more what we call the green GBA, the Green Business Administration degree, of how can you apply what you're passionate about from a practical sense in running the business. And also, too, I want to mention on that website, ecopreneuring.biz, we have a lot of resources that we unfortunately couldn't fit into the book that are very easy for folks to download, be them sample business plan templates to get started and various case study stories of businesses, green businesses around the country and what they're doing and how they're doing it to serve as examples and mentors.
And both you and John do a blog also. That
right. We blog for Green Options and are keeping content fresh that way as well. The nice thing about this is, primarily thanks to the Internet, is there's no need to reinvent any wheels in this, and somebody looking to start their own green business and become an ecopreneur is not starting off at ground zero. There's resources, be it our book, be it other people's stories, and a variety of other organizations out to support this.
You can start by going to www.ecopreneuring.biz. We're talking today to Lisa Kivarest. The book is called Ecopreneuring, Putting the Purpose and the Planet Before Profits, and we've got more to come. In fact, Lisa, let's once we come back from the break, let's get into the second and third parts of the book that you just mentioned, which are the business administration and the very web of relationships. I like this blending family, friends, and fun. We'll talk about that some before we go today. Talking to Lisa Kivarest on Strategies for Living. Come back with us.
can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Strategies for a Living. Are you ready to echopreneur? Well, you need to pick up a copy of Echopreneuring by Lisa Kivarist, my guest today on Strategies for Living. She and John Ivanko have broken free. They put purpose in the planet before their profits. But you don't, you don't send the profits back, right? You're okay with a little bottom line.
Oh, almost definitely. And that's a very interesting perspective that's changing as well. We talk about in the book, in the GBA, the Green Business Administration section, about different types of corporate structure. And many of the businesses that we profile in the book and on the website are nonprofits or hybrids of for-profits and nonprofits. And a nonprofit, as an example, isn't meant to never generate a profit. It's just meant to do so with these, in this case, very much so, nonprofit principles in mind. So
right.
We always want to make a profit. We always want to be run efficiently and strategically. It's just, A, how those profits are used in the end run, and B, what you do to get there. And that's what's changing and what we're very excited about.
Right, right. So, and what's the bottom? You know, I guess, you know, people can get the book, and they need to get the book because you've done a good job with the basics. But what's the bottom line here in terms of just good business, Lisa? What would you say to someone who's thinking about doing the same thing that you and John did, breaking free? What would you say to them from an economic or a money perspective? What would be your bottom line?
My bottom line would stem to back what we were just talking about, of the wealth and the poverty idea, that we really need to redefine what success is. And I think once you can get out of that mindset that more is not better and bigger is not better and the balloon will eventually burst if you keep on that track, all of a sudden there's this empowering freedom that comes as a consequence of that, that enables you to start taking steps towards change, be it going to other businesses and researching your idea, or starting a business plan, or reading the Ecopreneuring book. But once you break out of the expectations that have been chained to us, that's very empowering, and that's what is very exciting to see a lot of people going through that. You see this tremendously, too, amongst the growing retiree movement. As baby boomers start retiring, they're not really retiring. They're transitioning to the next chapter of their lives, and you see a lot of new green business startups amongst the baby boomer generation.
But you've got to know your elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be okay with getting naked, right?
Indeed. We and many of these skills, like your elevator pitch, here you see those in other business books and how-tos, but the rules change when you are really talking about things you're passionate about and can articulate things from the heart versus just the pocketbook.
Now, in terms of blending family and friends and fun, what you guys have done is really it's a return to cottage industry, isn't it?
Yes, with some new rules and new elements, with a internet connection and a food processor, if you will. But it's very much a return to a cottage industry of having your life under one roof, and that means involving your family in your business, be it your children. Our son Liam is 6, and since day one has been a part of our bed and breakfast and other businesses. He does everything from helps deliver muffins to the table to organizes the campfires at night here. But it's that idea of using your business both to involve your family and as a learning tool. I think when kids are able to both see and participate in their family's day-to-day business practices, that's very empowering, that there is a sense of control. There's a sense of responsibility in how you conduct your business that kids see in their daily lives. And also to other family members. We are very involved with our grandparents, or Liam's grandparents, Don and my parents, who come with us on business trips, and Liam comes, and it's a whole form of tribal travel where...
It's a family deal, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, but it's not a vacation. We're not all just jumping on a cruise ship and escaping. We're going to conferences. We're interviewing people for stories for the book or other articles, but we're doing it together, and that makes all the difference.
Hmm. Would you hope that one day you would pass this on? Do you guys hope to leave a legacy here with your children, grandchildren, perhaps?
Yes, in different ways, and not in the traditional way of legacy. Here's a big fat inheritance account, Liam. Go for it. Most definitely not that. We want to leave a legacy in what we have left literally in the land. We are doing a lot of reforestation efforts, and we're never going to see that in our lifetime, but Liam will. And secondly, to leave a legacy in that spirit of ecopreneuring, it doesn't matter to us what Liam does. He doesn't need to farm. He doesn't need to run this bed and breakfast, but we hope he embraces that passion of whatever it is you do, to do it with a sense of stewardship in mind and to reflect your values, and to not get caught in this consumption trap where I need to make more to earn more to be who I am. It's amazing with kids, because I think kids really know who they are.
Yeah.
He knows who he is. He knows what he's interested in. And I find that so empowering. And if we could only help our children keep that essence and channel that into a livelihood that earns them an income, but really creates a playing field to be who they are, that would be my greatest legacy.
If you want to learn more about In Serendipity, you can do that on the web too, inserendipity.com, or you can visit the website for the book, which is ecopreneuring.biz. This is great stuff, Lisa. You and John must have I know that the work must be very hard every day, and I'm sure that you keep your to keep your mindset right, but it's also got to be at the end of the day so nice to just say, hey, we are putting our purpose before our profits. We're putting the planet before our profits.
There's a tremendous sense of satisfaction there.
Yeah, what a great way to live. We are, if you want to continue this conversation with Lisa Kivarist or get into a conversation with John Ivankoe, you can pick up a copy of the book, Ecopreneuring, out from New Society Publishing from your favorite bookseller, or you can go online, ecopreneuring.biz. We'll be right back to wrap up our conversation today with Lisa Kivarist. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue skies.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Lisa Kivarist, thank you so much for coming and being a part of Strategies for Living, introducing us to the topic of ecopreneuring.
Thank you, David.
Folks, thank you. If you enjoyed this conversation today with Lisa, know we do conversations like this each and every time we do Strategies for Living. So come back and join us often. Tell your friends about us. That's the way we grow here on Strategies for Living and strategiesforliving.com. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make. who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lisa Kivarist, I'm marriage and family therapist David McMillan. I'll see you next time on Strategies for Living.